Okay, with that said, go to the John chapter 14, please. The third person in the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, is without a doubt most misunderstood one in the Godhead by many believers and unbelievers alike. Last Sunday, I began my teaching with the definition of God the Father by many different cults. This time, we're going to look at the Deo definition of the Holy Spirit. So we'll start with the Jehovah's Witness. They said, impersonal Holy Spirit is not God, but rather an invisible active force from Jehovah. Mormonism says, the Holy Spirit is different from the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit is not God, but an influence or electricity like an animation from God. It's just oozing out, I guess. They say, the light of Christ. Unification. This is comical, really comical. The Holy Spirit is a feminine spirit who works with Jesus in the spirit world to lead people to the Munsangmyeong. This guy, he's in the same country where I'm from, South Korea. I have no connection with that boy. He's dead, and he's finding out he's not above God in hell. He's being tormented. Scientology. You can ask Tom Cruise about this. The Holy Spirit is not part of this belief. Islam says Allah has or is a spirit. Muslim reject the biblical concept of the Trinity, so they don't acknowledge. New Age, they say, sometimes a psychic force. Man is a divine and can experience psychic phenomena such as contacting unearthly beings. And you can hear the background music. Even within Christianity, the doctrine of the gift of the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit can be separated by two polar opposite sides. Main denominations such as Baptist, Presbyterians, and Methodists, those people, they said the gift of the Holy Spirit is no longer available ever since we received the complete Bible. However, they said, well, this is the John MacArthur, whom I respect, but he's wrong on that. But the gift of teaching is available. So they pick and choose. Then the other side of the spectrum, a lot of Pentecostal people and all those charismatic people, they said, it is gift of the Holy Spirit is the thing. They even insist that if you don't speak in tongues, you are not truly saved. If that's the case, Billy Graham is not saved. Really? And I'm sure you're wondering, so where did our church stand? Somewhere in between? Where the Bible says? Because Bible clearly speaks about the gift of the Spirit, the work of the Spirit, at the same time where we should draw the boundary. So we believe that all the gifts and the works of the Holy Spirit are still available to all the believers of Jesus Christ. And you may wonder, where do you find the basis of that? In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. In case I might lie to you, turn your Bible to Hebrews chapter 13. Chapter 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ is the same, what? Yesterday, today, and what? So he have the same operating procedure. At the same time, we must use within the biblical boundary as the Holy Spirit lead us. The believers should not use excuses for their weird behavior as the work of the Holy Spirit. Some of you may notice that some charismatic brothers and sisters, they bark like a dog. They laugh like crazy in the middle of the service. And they even pretending they're peeing on the wall like a dog. And they said it's the Holy Spirit. And they run around the sanctuary and they say, the Holy Spirit got me. No, they call it Holy Ghost. I don't know why, but they call it Holy Ghost. And the Holy Spirit got, Holy Ghost got me. I didn't know what I was doing. Wrong. Very wrong. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, please. Verse 32. There yet? And the spirits of the prophet are subject to what? So if you have a gift of the Holy Spirit, whether it's a tongue or interpretation of your tongue, all of that is controlled by you. Holy Spirit will not override that. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. And as in the whole, as in all the churches of the saints. Obviously, there is much confusion regarding the Holy Spirit and His works and gift. Let's hear from the Lord Jesus Christ what He says. Let's not hear the man, what man or denomination speaks, but rather this book. Amen? All right, let's pray. Father, again, there we hear many different opinions, people. We don't want people's opinion, but what you tell us. Because what you tell us is true. What you tell us, your guideline for our lives. How we live, how we walk, and how we speak. We know that you are one true God. You will not tell us anything deceitful. You are not swayed by it, what people say or the denominations say. But we want your word because you feed ours. Father, we are asking you to speak to us, anoint our heart to receive your word. And at the same time, we are asking you to anoint the one who speaks and forgive his sin. Father, we pray for President Trump and all the leaders in this country. They may not do the things they want to do, but only do what you want them to do so that you alone receive glory. And we are praying for our soldiers, Marines, and airmen, and sailors. Father, we are asking you to protect them. And we are asking you to protect the law enforcement personnel and firefighters. We also pray for the victims of the Las Vegas massacre and their families. During this difficult time, you speak to them, and they may find the peace in you. Pray this in Jesus' name. Verse 15, in chapter 14 in the book of John, please. If you love me, keep my commandment. Can you say that with me? If you love me, keep my commandment. This is a fair measure of your love for Jesus Christ. It is easy to think of the loving Jesus is merely sensational, emotional terms. I see it, some of the worship concert. As Pastor Al mentioned, he and I saw the same kind of thing, known as Hillsongs. They're from Australia. They have a phenomenal worship band, or just called musical band. Their songs are very good. What I heard from a friend of mine who is very knowledgeable with the word, he said that their songwriters, not so sure if they wrote the song lyrics that is biblical. So at the last moment, before they start to sing, they have to present to their pastor, make sure they are biblical. Why would you write a song that you are not so sure about? Huh? If it's truly anointed, it would flow out. A lot of times, they worship with the emotion. Should we worship God with the emotion? Yes, but that's a part of it, behind a small portion. But you worship God with a commitment, and you worship God with a genuine heart. Realizing that God is this mighty, wonderful God, yet you are a sinful human being that need His grace. Are you with me? And when we sing, Some people absolutely do nothing, don't sing, don't do anything, just like, yeah, get it over with this thing so we can get into the sermon. I said this, I'm going to say it again and again until it gets into your head. You sing to the audience of one. And you may say, well, it's not my favorite song, that's why I don't sing. I don't care if it's your not favorite song. And some people say, well, you got to sing in hymns. During the time when the hymn was written originally, it was a bar music. They just add the song lyrics on that thing. How do you know God loves this rap music? Or country music? Cannot be, right? Since you don't like it. Are we pleasing you? Is that for you? Worship song is for you? Answer me. Then why are we singing for God to please Him? It's your love song. So when you say your love to your husband and wife, you say, try to communicate, husband and wives. If you just stand there, you ain't communicating. Express to him, yes, there is an emotion, but at the same time, you gotta have that love behind that song. Are you with me? Okay, we'll watch when we sing the last song. People can say how much they love God. All they want. But if they don't obey the commandment of the Lord, they are doing absolutely nothing more than lip service to Him. Our obedience to His word is the outward expression of our love for the Lord. Are you with me on that? Verse 16, please. I will pray the Father, and He will give you, note those two words, another Helper, that He may abide with you forever. Today, we are learning two names of the Holy Spirit, which were given by our Lord Jesus. The first one is another Helper. To understand this word, another Helper, we need to look into the Greek word. In verse 15, Jesus spoke of the true disciples' love for Him, but this time He revealed His love for them by unveiling supernatural promise of the divine helper. The Greek word here really tells us an awful lot than the English word, and what we call in theology the crucial word. It is word another. The Greek word for that is alas. And this, there are two different Greek words for English word that is another. First one is heteros, where we get the heterosexual, right? That means two different sexual people, male and female. Hey guys, listen up. When God created Adam and Eve, He created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. I don't care what the people wants to change. It's a man and woman. And you may say, well, I'm born with a feminine. Get over it. You're a pervert. And some people will say, well, isn't that a little harsh? No, I'm telling you the truth. God did not create. You are coming up with your own mindset. So the heteros, and the other one is alas. Now, heteros is another of different kind, man and woman. But the second word is alas, which means another of exactly same kind. And you may say, where are you going with this? Let me explain. What Jesus is saying to His disciple and us is that He was going to pray to the Father that He would dispatch the Holy Spirit who has the same divine nature like the Jesus Himself and not a human or not even mighty angels. Are you with me? Holy Spirit has a divine nature. In verse 16, John 14:6 is one of the verses in the Bible that shows underlying theme of the Holy Spirit. God the Son prayed to the God the Father so that He might send got the Holy Spirit to us. You see that? God the Son prayed to the God the Father, so that He got the Holy Spirit might be dispatched. In the Bible, you never read of any dissension in the Trinity. Holy Spirit never tells God the Son, hey, wait a minute, Jesus, how come you get all the attention? I'm the third person. What am I, chopped liver? He never say that kind of thing. Do you know what He does? He points His finger to the cross. If you want to come to know Jesus, have a salvation, go to Him. I will lead you to Him. That's His job. And all the God the Father said, hey, Jesus, we need to take a vote on this thing. There's no dissension. There's always perfect harmony. It's not the Father, nor the Son, nor certainly not the Holy Spirit when we have a problem. There's somebody's singing off key. Guess who that is? You and me. If you have an NIV, New International Version, or New Living Translation, they read this help, instead of helper, it's a counselor. If you have a New King James Version, it says comforter. Of course, the people who do not know the Bible will say, see? They have a different meaning. No, but they have all same meaning. When you look at the Greek definition, it covers all three. It covers counselor, comforter, and helper. Because the Greek word for that is a parakletos, and it means helper, comforter, and counselor. It means called to come alongside to assist, comfort, and advocate. I don't know much about a Spanish word. There is a counselor, you know, lawyer, abogado. Am I correct? Counselor, coming along the side. The Holy Spirit never works instead of us or in spite of us or always, but always in us and through us. That's why Holy Spirit will not go against your will. If you choose to exercise the gift of the Holy Spirit, and without His help, He will let you do it. But He's not in there. And become a hard labor. Have you ever heard some people say, oh, I've been working in the ministry, I'm burned out. Have you ever heard that? You know why? Because they are doing with their own strength. They start with the power of the Holy Spirit, and then they continue to do it when the Holy Spirit is not backing them. By the way, this month is the month, it's the 18th year of our church. I don't know the exact date, but 18th year. I've been doing this for 18 years. Honest goodness, I've never been burned out. I get tired. I get annoyed by some people, but I've never been burned out. Because by grace of God, I'm doing what He wants. And then He bring people to me who help me. They are the one who work with me in such a way my workload is very light. My job is praying. My job is preparing teaching. My job is giving you the Word of God. And many people in this room help me to do that. Let's look at what Jesus said about another helper in verse 16. Let's go back and read. I will pray the Father, He will give you another helper that He may, what? What? Out loud together. Abide with you. Okay, note that thing. Put it in the back of your mind. Number one, God the Father will give the Holy Spirit to all born again believers as guarantee. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Have you ever felt in some time during the time of depression or hopelessness? And that, of course, demons come at you and then say, you are not really saved. So, do you ever doubt your salvation? Have you ever done that? Whenever Satan tells you this, kind of thing. That kind of lie. Read this and remind Satan. Chapter 1, verse 21. Now he who established us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our heart as a guarantee. In other words, if you are truly born again Christian, you receive Jesus into your heart, Jesus into your heart as a Savior Lord. Do you know what God does? He does, we cannot see it, but He kind of put the seal on us and said, this one is mine. Have you ever heard of GI or term GI? Our soldiers, right? GIs, GI Joe, right? Some of you guys still playing with that GI Joes? I hope not. GI stands for government issued. But if you are born again Christian, you are God issued. You with me? Second point. God used the pronoun he, not for another helper instead of it. In other words, the Holy Spirit is not forced from somewhere, mumbo-jumbo cosmo, like a New Age people say, or he's not some Jedi Knight of the Star Wars. Zoom, zoom. You can delete the sound effect. People are going to wonder, what the heck he's doing? Third point. Another helper, what? Abides in our heart of the believers forever once he goes into it. In this area, we have a lot of snowbirds, right? Holy Spirit is not like that. He doesn't go, he comes in during this good time, and then when you become cranky, he said, sayonara, I'm not going to see you for a while until you behave yourself. He doesn't do that. He resides with you all the time. Once he permanently resides in our heart, the heart becomes his temple. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. By the way, when right before the Lord comes, we're going to finish the book, this harmony of the gospel. And we'll go into the 1 Corinthians. So read ahead, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. At this rate, I don't think we're going to get there anytime soon. Chapter 6, verse 19. Apostle Paul speaking. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? Are you with me? This is such a blessed truth. I know some people take this way out of context. And they said, well, you are not supposed to drink because it's not good for you. Well, is there anything that is good for your body nowadays other than breathing? Any food, any drink, somehow they find a cancerous thing. Well, get over it. My concept is, I'm going to eat what I want to eat. I'm going to go see Jesus only. Verse 17. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither see Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. The second name of the Holy Spirit Jesus mentioned is here, is the Spirit of truth. Yes, we are getting very theological here. Apart from the Holy Spirit, no man, no woman can ever know the truth about his sinful condition and about the righteousness of God and what it takes to get to God. In other words, as I mentioned before, Holy Spirit is the one who is leading people to Christ. Until they realize they are the sinner, they cannot accept Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. AA meeting, Alcohol and Anonymous. Do you know what the first thing they do? I'm JK, I'm an alcoholic. Not really, I'm just saying. They have to designate themselves who they are and what they are. Before the treatment starts, they have to acknowledge their name, they have to acknowledge that they are alcoholic. Same thing. Before we come to know Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, we have to acknowledge that It's me. I am the sinner. I cannot get to heaven without Jesus Christ. Are you with me on that? If you think you're a good person, but yeah, since I'm in the church, I'll say I received Christ. Ain't gonna work. Speaking of receiving Christ, we did memorial service yesterday morning and gave an altar call. 8 people raised their hand. God knows their heart. The Holy Spirit is the author of the Bible, which is the truth from cover to cover, this book. Everything in this book is absolute truth. This truth is not depending on your interpretation. And some people say, well, the different version says a different thing. Obviously, that person hasn't read anything in the Bible. All the Holy Bible speak the same kind of truth. Those who like a King James Version, good for you. Works for you. Great. Just don't pound other people's head with the King James Bible and demand that everybody should read their Bible. Do you know there is other people around the world who doesn't speak a word of English? Just because you speak English, that doesn't mean you are the elite. Do you know that? Majority of people don't speak English. They cannot read the King James one word. If the language translate Bible correctly, they will be able to be saved. Listen, the Word of God, as we always recite, has a final authority. The Word of God is the absolute truth. Because it's written by the God Himself. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, please. All scripture, do you see anywhere? All scripture except, do you see that? All scripture is inspired by the Holy Spirit, by inspiration of God. And is profitable for doctrine or reproof or correction or instruction and in righteousness. That man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. I love that. Back to verse 14 of chapter 14 in John, please. Concerning the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, He will dwell with you and will be with you. In the book of Acts, chapter 1, go to Acts chapter 1, verse 8, please. One book behind of John, chapter 1, verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. So we see here, so far, Holy Spirit dwells with you and dwells in you and Holy Spirit come upon you. Did you get that? Let me say it one more time. When we put these three verses together, Holy Spirit will be with you, Holy Spirit will be in you, and Holy Spirit will come upon you. In other words, Holy Spirit, who is God Himself, is with us because He is omnipresent God. Then He, Holy Spirit, come after us to save us. When we obey His call and become born-again believers by receiving Jesus into our heart as the Savior and Lord, and the Holy Spirit comes into our heart to sanctify us, and the Holy Spirit comes upon us to supercharge us with His anointing to get us ready and able to do God's work in this world. Now, that's the relationship we want with God. Do you understand? I know this is a heavy theology thing, but you have to understand. Let me make one more time. God, the Holy Spirit is with us because He's omnipresent. Holy Spirit is in us when you come to know Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. And the Holy Spirit comes upon us to give us understanding and to do His work. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. Apart from Him, people cannot know the truth and they cannot understand the truth and they cannot discover the truth. That's why unbelievers cannot figure out this word. They just read and say, so, I don't get it. Because they don't have the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God used the Word of God to teach the people of God. Let me say one more time. The Spirit of God used the Word of God to teach the people of God. Think about this with me, ladies and gentlemen. The very God who created the entire universe, the very God who can hold the entire universe in the palm of His hand, He is so gracious. When you accept Christ, He will come into your heart, reside in your tiny heart. Not necessarily that little muscle that pounds. Your soul, your spirit. Do you know any other cult God that would do that? You don't. It's absolutely mind-boggling. What a privilege, what a marvelous grace of God that He would plant His very presence in the midst of us. We have a supernatural helper, not somewhat on the other side of the universe, but everyone's heart. And you may wonder, how can Holy Spirit in everyone's heart? He's God. He's omnipresent God. He Himself be in Susan's heart, He Himself be in the Joseph's heart, He will put Himself in the Daniel's heart, everybody's heart. And you may say, that's not possible. Bingo. You got it. That's why He's got you in. Just side note, what the disciples of Jesus saved at this point? Come on, I'm asking you. No, they were not. Because Jesus said to them, He dwells, Holy Spirit dwells with you and will be in you. If they were saved, He would say, He is with you and He's with you and He is in you already. And then He goes on in John chapter 20 verse 22 says, He, Jesus, breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. You may say, so what is your point, preacher, with all this deep theological thing? People can think that they are born again Christian, though they do not have the Holy Spirit within them. But without the Holy Spirit, eventually that person will show the true color, whether that person is a believer or not, and will be rejected by the Lord because he or she has rejected them. Reject Jesus. Go down to verse 18 of chapter 14, please. Last verse. I will not leave you orphans, and I will come to you. Orphan in Greek is orphanos, and it means teacherless, without guardian. Though Jesus was about to leave His disciples on earth, but He would be replaced by the Holy Spirit, who can be in every born-again Christian's heart. Listen. Could Jesus be everywhere when He was on earth? No. Why? Because He was inside a human container, human body. So He only could go from one place to another place. But when He lives, He said He would give us the Holy Spirit who come upon us and will be in us. And He is omnipresent. I heard a story about the late pastor Steve Mays. He studied at Calvary Chapel, South Bay. Some of you know him. Very straightforward guy. There's no black and there's nothing gray about him. One day, he read a book from the well-known Bible teacher. He read a book that described that the head of the ministry can be quite lonely. So he asked when he met the pastor Chuck Smith, who is the founder of all the Calvary chapels all around the world. He asked, Chuck, do you feel lonely because you are the head of the Calvary chapel? And Pastor Chuck, when he says, deep baritone voice slowly and said, how can I be lonely when God is with me all the time? Steve May came back to his office and threw his book in the trash can. He realized, how can I be lonely when God is with me? I'm going to extend that to you. How can you be hopeless when God is with you? How can you be powerless when God is with you? How can you feel like you are nothing when God empowers you when you walk with Him? Are you with me on that? Having the presence of God in our heart 24/7 brings a comfort and some serious warning to us. The comfort: wherever you go, the Holy Spirit goes with us. He watches over us and protects us and comforts us. Let me remind you, 1 John 4:4. He who is in you is greater than the one in the world. Warning. I heard that the true measure of a godly man is what he or she does. Godly person is what he or she does behind the closed door when no one is watching. How true. No physical eye may be present with you, but all-knowing God, indwelling God, the Holy Spirit is with you. You know, you may look good, smell good, you act right, you spoke the right language in front of us. Our deacon, Gary, mentioned about that we're going to do the DVD series for the purity. Do you know 68% of a church attending male are into pornography? 68%. I hope none of you are. I hope our church is exception, but I am not naive to buy that story. Even if you are not into pornography, I highly recommend you to come learn how to fight against pornography. Another thing, this is really mind-boggling. 1/3 of female are into pornography. Yes, you heard me right. 1/3 of female are into pornography. They get tempted just like men. And nowadays, it's a blatant. What you do behind the closed door. Do you know, this is the really sad stat. When they had a youth pastors convention or conference, the hosting hotel, all of a sudden, the cable subscription of the pornography channel went sky high. Youth pastors, some of them are married. They are alone. Nobody knows. They subscribe. They may think that nobody knows. Guess who's in them? The Holy Spirit. Very God. If you're an alcoholic, you may say, nobody sees I'm drinking this. Really? If you're a born-again Christian, God sees you. If you're a drug addict, whether it's a prescription or illegal drug, it doesn't matter. Is that right thing? I said this many times, but I'll say it again. If Jesus is sitting next to you, would you do it? You say, you're not, I won't do it. Then why would you do it when the Holy Spirit is in you and watching everything you do? Used to be the R-rated movie. And I'll get off the soapbox sometime later. It used to be R-rated movie to hear all the battling, vulgarity, profanity, and the nude scenes, the sex scenes, all that stuff. Am I correct? Now it's down to PG-13 and then go to the PGs. Karen and I, my wife and I decided we ain't going to do that, so we are not going to even listen to any, which chop up all the TV series. Now I'm watching the Animal Kingdom. Or the USS Supercarrier. The aircraft carrier. You know, there's pretty much nothing to watch because that's what they promote. They try to put the poison in your heart as much as they can. What you do behind closed door is the true measure of your godliness when no one is watching. So let me remind you our memory verse, John 14:15. If you love God, Jesus, you will do what He says. Are you with me? Don't pretend. He knows. First application. Our obedience to His word is the outward expression of our love for the Lord. Second application. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. Apart from Him, people cannot know the truth, and they cannot understand the truth, and they cannot discover the truth. Third application. The true measure of a godly person is what he or she does behind the closed door when no one is watching. Fourth application, to remind ourselves, the Spirit of God used the Word of God to teach people of God. Read this, memorize this, put it in your heart that we may not sin against Him. Amen?